Hello, good evening, and welcome to ABW Radio, your home for Arsenal news, win or lose. I've done that horribly wrong, but Chris isn't here, so it's his fault. You can blame him. Good evening. Yeah, as you know, I'm not Chris. The pirate couldn't be here tonight. Sadly, really poor internet on the high seas, apparently, so I'm taking over. Oh, and someone hasn't turned
someone
the YouTube.
Hasn't muted.
Oh, dear.
What did someone? It wasn't me. It wasn't me.
Professional as ever. Anyway, yeah, good evening, everyone. Hello to everyone in the chat. Yeah, I'm hosting tonight. And tonight I'm joined by our good friend, Aussie Dom, all the way from Canada. Hello, Dom.
Hi there. How are you? I've just read in the comments box that Danny's not here because his right testicle is a bit poorly. So just in case everybody that's not watching live wanted to know why Danny's not here, just let us all know in the comments box.
Yeah, that's lovely. And follow that up if you can. Carl, good evening, Carl.
How do I follow that up? That there is no way I could. So hello, everyone, and hello, Danny's right bollock, I think.
Yeah, he's doing well as usual. Right, so we're here to talk about Arsenal 6, Ludogorets 0. Wow, that's something a bit special. A very good friend of ours got to see another good game. He's a good luck charm. I don't think we're going to let him go home. Mr. OG. But yeah, cracking result. Maybe not one that we all expected, that many goals anyway. So first things first, get underway with the team lineup. Any surprises for you boys, Dom? Any real shocks? There was one or two changes, but nothing major.
No, I think even Arsene had alluded to earlier in the week with pre-match stuff that he wants to keep the same basic structure of the team and only rotate a few players here and there where some players may have needed a rest or other players may be looking for a little bit of game time. So I think we all expected a few little changes. A lot of people thought that Monreal might have a little bit of a break and to let Gibbs have a run. I didn't necessarily think Ox would start, but then I guess if you look at Iwobi has been getting quite tired at the end of game, so it's was good to give him a bit of a rest. But I thought maybe Alexis and or Ozil might have had a bit of a rest and potentially had Lucas starting today. But I think that, you know, when you look at it, it was a really important 3 points. We really had to make sure that we won that one with obviously PSG matching our result tonight as well. So it would have been a bit of a shit show to try to finish top if we had managed to drop any points today. So all in all, I don't think there was too many shocks.
Yeah, Carl, same for you. There was one or two questions as to why maybe Xhaka didn't start the game after picking up the suspension and being available for this. But did you sort of same opinion as Don?
Yeah, I kind of thought that Xhaka would start, to be honest. I kind of thought Perez would start as well, just because Alexis has played so many games. And I know he's got runs like a Duracell bunny, but I'm kind of worried about burnout with him, especially with November. And our November is notoriously hard all the time anyway. So I kind of was expecting Perez to start and Xhaka. But apart from that, the changes that were made, kind of changes that made sense. I definitely thought Monreal wouldn't start just because he hasn't looked his best lately. So maybe just, you know, maybe he's suffering a little bit from burnout. So he gets a little rest until Middlesbrough on Saturday. But the rest of them, the people that started, no, it was a good team. And I understand what Dom said, that you don't want to rotate too much. Because when you do that, you sort of lose the functionality of the team, which is obviously we need to. If we got a good team and they're playing well, then that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's too easy to change things around and drop players. You know, when you're in good form, you should keep the consistency. One or two here and there doesn't affect it too much. Good to see that the centre back pairing was kept together. I think that's always the most important thing. Keep the core of the team together. Moving into the game itself, starting, I think most people expected a win. This was sort of the home banker in the group. Maybe not as emphatically as it was. Were you a little bit surprised by the level of opposition that Ludogorets offered up in the game, Don? Were you expecting a little bit more from them, or?
I thought maybe they would have sat a little deeper and stayed a little tighter for a little bit longer, but I mean, even before we scored, the game seemed to be quite open and they seemed to be giving us a lot of space in those pockets between the two banks of four for people like Alexis to drop into and Ozil to roam into. And we were causing them a few problems from early on. And that's where I thought they may have dropped a little deeper. But, you know, credit to them. I thought the first half they actually played quite well. They could have easily scored one or two goals. They did get in behind our defence a couple of times, but we seemed to shore that up in the second half. But definitely the first half, I was reasonably impressed with them. But yeah, I was a little surprised at just how much space they gave us, especially when you have Alexis and Theo and Oxlade-Chamberlain as the front three. The amount of pace that those guys have, you would have thought that it would have made a little more sense to sit deeper and to deny them space. But I mean, as a fan of Arsenal, it was nice that they didn't do that because it was much, much more pleasant to watch.
Yeah, they were a lot more open than I thought they'd be. Teams, obviously, like you say, tend to set up and sit deep against us, but they kept playing. And it was a nice early goal for us, Carl. Sanchez, I don't know about you, but I didn't actually see the first half. I only saw the highlights of it. But when I saw the goal back, I was screaming at him to cross the ball with Walcott and Ozil making the run. But I think he surprised everyone with that finish.
So I looked up and I was like, oh, pass the ball. Oh, shit, what a goal. Because I did not expect him to try and chip the goalkeeper. Like, literally, the finish was fantastic. It was just brilliant. And I think it caught almost everybody out because everyone was thinking, oh, he's going to square it. And obviously, the position of the goalkeeper wasn't the best. And, you know, you don't need to give Alexis a chance. You know, he'll take half a chance. So the chip was absolutely sublime. It really was. You know, what more can you ask for? Had it not come off, then I would have been pissed off because I would have been screaming at him to pass the ball. But no, you know, credit where credit's due. Absolutely brilliant, brilliant goal. It just shows the good technical ability of the guy. You know, sometimes people are saying, oh, he's not a striker. Maybe he's not an out-and-out number 10, but number 9. But when he needs to put the ball in the back of the net, he can do it.
Yeah, he was superb tonight throughout the whole game. And yeah, no, like you, I was when I saw it back, I just thought, why are you not crossing it there? And then you see the finish, and that's fantastic. But yeah, I'm sure he would have got an earful if he had missed that. But the technique was brilliant on that. And another person who had a really good night, Dom, was Theo Walcott. His first goal of the night. Perhaps some suspect goalkeeping from Ludo Goretz. But he made the space for himself. He'd been doing it all night, took up the right space and just was confident enough. And he's in that rich vein of form at the moment that everything he seems to hit is going in.
Yeah, I think it's, Arsene said a million times when it comes to strikers, Giroud and Welbeck and all of them, that they're all confidence players. And when they start to get in a little bit of form, they feel that they're capable of doing these things. And I think the thing for that particular goal was that the vision by Ozil out wide where he cut the ball back in behind absolutely everyone. No one saw that coming. And it's interesting when Arsene says that, you know, that Theo is very, very intelligent in the runs that he makes. And I know that he gets a lot of stick for not being a smart footballer, but I don't think he's a dumb footballer. I just don't think he is as capable of dribbling past players as sometimes he tries to be, which makes him run down blind alleys. But when he's just making little runs and getting into space, I think that he's very, very good. And there was a couple of times that he did that. But the thing I think set that goal up was that first touch that he took, where he didn't take all the pace off it. He kind of only took a little bit of pace off it to let it run across his body a little more so he could go out and take the shot. So yeah, everything he's touching is turning to gold at the moment. And look, there's going to be periods of the year where he goes quiet. I mean, you know, no striker is going to continue to do what he's been doing every single game. And we just need to hope that when that happens, that he continues to work hard, because I think that's been the turning point for his game. Isn't necessarily what he's doing at the attacking end of the pitch. It's just how well he's covering. He's right back. He's getting back and helping. And he's starting moves and counterattacks from deep. His ball recoveries tonight were fantastic. I thought that defensively he was tackling and harassing and pressing. And I think that's where a lot of his forms come from, as silly as it sounds, but it's come from the defensive side of his game. And so if he does have a few dry patches where he's not scoring a lot, that's going to be okay. But as long as he's producing that kind of output and assisting or tackling or just putting in, you know, a lot of effort, then I think that we're going to have a lot of words shoved back down our throats, because I don't think there was too many of us that still wanted him here at the start of the season.
Yeah, no, that's true. Many of us on here on the radio show and people in the chat had spoken before about Walcott being the one to go in the summer, and he's come back and really proved the point. And the work rate that you talk about is spot on. I'm sure, as everyone knows who listens on here and listens to the main pod, Mr. Davies is not the biggest Theo Walcott fan. And tonight he was messaging in the WhatsApp and talking about how if Oxlade-Chamberlain can show the work rate that Theo's putting in, then maybe he can get himself a spot in the team, which I don't think I'd ever see the day that I'd be reading that off Jace. So, yeah, really, really good shift by Theo tonight. Ludogorets in the first half had a couple of decent chances. We were a little bit open at the back. It's the first time I've ever seen Mustafi and Koscielny maybe once or twice have a little communication error. But little Dave, who I'm sure everyone knows I'm not the biggest fan of, and I still think you should always play your best goalkeeper, but he's Champions League goalkeeper. He made some really important saves, especially in the first half, Cole. And he was really good at the back. And it's so nice now to watch the team. And even when Ospina does come in and it's not Czech, you are still confident about that clean sheet.
Yeah, I think Ospina suffers from boredom. You know, when he has to come to and then when he does do something, like he flaps a little bit, I'll give him that. But when he's called upon, he's done well. I go back to the PSG game where he played absolutely brilliantly. You couldn't fault him in that PSG game. He was putting off saves that brilliantly. But today, I think I can only think of maybe two chances that they had in the first half where it was quite close and he covered himself well, but he could have made the chances a bit easier, if you know what I mean. But
yeah,
at the end of the day, as long as he keeps that clean sheet and he keeps the ball at the back of the net, then so be it. That's all that matters.
Yeah, if the one in particular stands out, I think it was Cafu who ran through and Ospina came out, got enough on the ball, was really brave in the challenge, and Cafu sort of half-heartedly went down looking for a penalty but was never going to get one. You know, he just made the decision, came out at the right time and saved Mustafi and Koscielny a little bit of embarrassment from sort of the one misstep they'd really made all night. So, you know, it's nice to see that, you know, even when a game you are 6-0, you're still going to give up the odd opportunity, and to keep a clean sheet, I think is really good. Just keeps confidence going. Second half starts off absolutely perfect. Another much criticised player for the last couple of seasons, really, at Arsenal. Oxlade-Chamberlain steps up and gets a goal. Dom, what did you think of his performance tonight? Because he's been criticised quite heavily a lot by the fan base so far this season.
Yeah, I think he's trying too hard, as silly as that sounds. I think he's trying to force things to happen. And, you know, early in the game, there was some really bad decision-making, I thought, with his final ball. There was a cross that he hit that went straight out of bounds, and it looked like it was going to be another one of those nights for him. But again, the one thing that I really liked with his performance was how well he was covering the left side, and he was working well with Gibbs, and he was putting his defensive shift in, and he wasn't just trying to make things happen up the other end. And yeah, it was really good that cross from Gibbs got whizzed in like it did, and it's just going to cause a lot of issues for any defence when a ball comes in like that. And, you know, he was right place, right time, managed to finish it off. So I think, and from that point onwards, it seemed like he kind of played a little bit better, like a little bit more. It was almost as he sort of got more tired, he started to play a little better because he wasn't able just to run around like an idiot. He had to probably be a little bit more intelligent about where he moved and the passes that he was playing. So overall, I think it was definitely a step up from previous performances, that's for sure. And hopefully he's in the change rooms now and just has a little tap on the shoulder and just says, look, if you keep doing that, keep working hard and you know, just let the game come to you a little bit, then he's definitely going to find himself with a little bit more game time.
Yeah, I thought, like you said, he definitely looked a lot more confident after the goal. His head was dropping a little bit in the first half. Nice to see Jace and Mr. Hollick in the chat there. Good evening, gentlemen. Oh, look, they're on about the beard already. It doesn't stop. The abuse I get on this podcast is ridiculous.
The amount of abuse you've copped, your hair's now turning grey.
Mate, this has been grey since I was about 18. I just used to cover it up. Anyway, moving swiftly on. goal number four, Mesut Ozil. Wow. He's just been banging form all season. Obviously, got the goal at the weekend. First career hat-trick, which is a little bit of a surprise. But yeah, first goal of the night, Santi Cazorla assist. He's just so good at the moment, Cole. So important to this team. And the one difference I noticed from this season, from any previous ones, he looks more up for it. You can see whenever he scores a goal, he's celebrating it more. He's trying to egg the other players on, almost becoming a bit more of a leader than he was before. And when he was subbed off at the weekend, you could see him shouting to the players, keep going, keep fighting. He's become so important to the side, not just for his technical ability now, but he really lifts the other players up.
Mesut Ozil is one of the wonders of the world. He is absolutely brilliant. Like, just no matter what he does, whether it's assisting, whether it's scoring, he is just brilliant. Like, you know, and every day, like, I look at him and I see him in an Arsenal shirt, I have to think, how the hell did we get him? Like, it's just, the guy is magical. He really is. You know, without being negative, he does his quiet points, but when he's good, he's very, very good. And today just shows just how good he was. I mean, his first goal, I mean, it stemmed from a Koscielny tackle right on the edge of our box. A brilliant pass from Cozzola over the top to Ozil, and he just slots it home. He's just, you know, the composure of the guy is just brilliant. You know, there's a defender bearing down on him, but he doesn't lose his stride, and with his right foot as well. Slots it under the goalkeeper. It's just absolutely brilliant what the guy does. He's a special player, really, really special player. Sometimes I don't think he gets the credit that he deserves. You know, all this shit about nicking the living, don't think so. The guy is magical. He really, really is.
Norm has just put in the chat, Carl was about to write a sonnet about Mesut, tears in his eyes right now. He deserves one. Yeah, he's so good to watch. And we were having a discussion the other day talking about how in sort of 10, 20 years' time we'll be talking about how lucky we were to see Mesut Ozil play in an Arsenal shirt, and how, like you said, we can't believe that we signed him, sort of the way that people talk about Dennis Bergkamp and players of that era now. He really is on just on another level. Moving on to his... Just before we get on to that goal, Dom, Cazorla came off. It looked like he took a bit of a whack in the first half from a tackle, and he looked like he was struggling to start the second. Elneny came on and sort of shored up the midfield because Lugarets were still getting through there a little bit too easily. Any worries for Cazorla, or do you think it's just a bit of bruising? Because we saw some ice on the, looked like the back of his heel there.
Yeah, when he came off, I mean, he... Earlier in the season, there was talks of how he's struggling with a bit of an Achilles issue. So it may be a flare-up of that. However, if it was sore going into the game, I dare say that they would have just rested him, because we've got that much cover in midfield at the moment that there was no need to risk him. So he must have gone into the game feeling pretty good. So you would think that it's a bit of a knock, a bit of a kick, or a bit of a sort of strain somewhere. You know, he was in a little bit of discomfort when he come off, so I wouldn't be surprised if he was to miss a game or two, but I wouldn't think that it would be much more serious than that. Although, knowing our luck, he's probably got a small little hairline fracture in there somewhere and he's going to have surgery, so...
Fingers crossed it's okay, because he's been in great form this season. But yeah, it's just nice now that we can rotate so much. I thought El Neno was great when he came on, really just calmed down the midfield, sped things up when he needed to, slowed it down at the right time. He's been quite a signing, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's one of those ones where we've been sort of... I think it just goes to show that there are still bargains to be had in the transfer market, and you don't need to bring in a finished world-class article to sort of build the squad or he's a guy that now, if you were to put back on the transfer market for whatever reason, is definitely not going for $5 million. So, I like that the club took that risk with him and that it's paid off. And, you know, Lucas could be another one of these players. I'm sure we'll get to him later, but... it's nice to see that it's the argument that, you know, earlier in the chat box, people were saying, you know, what's going to happen with Ramsey? Well, I think we're so obsessed with the first 11. You know, it takes a squad to win anything, a Capital One Cup or whatever they call it now, Premier League, FA Cup, Champions League, all of it. You know, there's 60-odd games a season and you can't expect Santi Cazorla to play 90 minutes of all of them. So, you know, when you talk about what's going to happen with X player, well, they'll get game time. Don't worry about it. You know, it's one of those things that, it, you know, the first 11 now is going to be completely different to the first 11 in 2 months' time, I guarantee it, through form, injuries, whatever other circumstances. There's going to be plenty of opportunities for everybody to have their time. So if someone's not playing so much now, like Elneny, I'm sure, would like a little bit more game time, there's going to be times where he's going to be called on for long periods of the season. So, but it is nice to be able to have that player come in, and he's someone that will give you 7 out of 10 every week, won't he? I mean, I don't think I've seen him with a 10 out of 10 performance, but I don't think I've seen him anything less than a 7. So it's really nice to have that insurance policy, I guess, on the bench.
Yeah, he's just such a solid and consistent player that it's so handy to have in a squad, the sort of player we've been missing for a long time. Reminds me, not necessarily in style of play, but in how useful he is, and perhaps underrated in the way that Edu was back in the day, and how he was perhaps a little bit overlooked because of the rest of the talent we had in midfield at the time. But yeah, you mentioned Lucas Perez there. Came on, lots of people wanted to see him tonight. Came on around 60, 65 minutes, something like that. Yeah, had quite an impact on the game. Started out on the right and then sort of floated up front for a bit as well. Two assists for him, helped with Ozil's second goal. What do you make of Perez, Carl? Because we haven't seen a lot of him, but every time he's come on, he's really impressed me. Seems to have really good work rate and quite quickly understanding, good understanding with the players.
I mean, yeah, we haven't seen, personally, I don't think we've seen enough of him. I think we could have seen a bit more. But yeah, he came on today and, he slotted straight into the team. He doesn't seem like he needs a bit of time to sort of settle in like some players do. You know, some players come from sort of overseas and they need two or three games to settle in. He's come straight in and I think he's done well, really, really well today. You know, two assists for Mesut Ozil, brilliant. And hopefully he'll get a start soon and we can see what he kind of does up front. I think when we bought him, my fear, I didn't want him to play on the wings. I wanted him to be bought as a striker and play up front as a striker. I believe he's only got one opportunity. No, two, because he's the game that he started in the Premier League and also against Forest, he played up front. So, he has had opportunities. But, today he came on. I think the first goal was from the left, I believe. It was a pass from Oxlade Chamberlain. So he's come on and, you know, some strikers would have tried to, maybe gone round the player. But he crossed it into Ozil. Ozil, right place, right time. Right foot again and into the goal. You can't fault him. The goal was brilliantly taken. You know, other players may have skied it, may have put it straight into the goalkeeper, but Mesut Ozil's always got this knack of, I don't know if he does it on purpose, it's hitting the ball into the ground and letting it bounce. Yeah, I don't know how he does it. Yeah, I don't know how he does it, but he always does it. So, you know, credit where credit's due and just... to see him get a goal, which is really good, and to see him get a goal with his right foot, even better.
Yeah, I just, Ozil's goal was great, and it's got to be said as well, the Oxlade-Chamberlain pass through, just holding on to the ball long enough to open up the space for Perez to run into. And what I liked about Perez was it was very old style. As soon as he got the ball, it was whip it in first time. There was no take a touch and that kind of thing that we've seen sort of Arsenal wide men do, or the cutting in. It was deliver it first time because, you know, that's the best chance for us scoring a goal. I was really impressed with him. Dom, same question to you, really. What did you think of Perez tonight? Again, I know, we haven't seen loads of him, but have you been impressed with what you've seen so far?
What I liked is that it was almost, next man up mentality, where the person that came in was very much expected to do the work that the person that came off was doing, which was work hard, harass and press and cause a little bit of mischief and try to turn the ball over. The one thing that I think I've noticed recently, I don't know about you guys, just on a sort of more of a general overall tactical level, is that we seem to be trying to turn the ball over higher up the pitch before teams get it past halfway, which allows us to cause absolute chaos when you have Alexis and Ozil and Theo kind of all interchanging and just running amok. Not only are teams caught out of position a little bit because they're thinking that they're going to be running the ball up the pitch, so there's less people to get through defensively. You've also got a forward line that's not static, so... When Perez came on, I think that he just continued that on. I saw him out on the left. I saw him covering, down the left back area. Oh, sorry, the right back area, because he was on the right at the time. Wobi was on the left. So then I saw him kind of come into the middle when Alexis went out. It was just everybody was interchanging quite well, which is really, really nice to see, because it's just going to give the manager more confidence that if someone is feeling a little bit tired, that they don't have to take the risk of playing somebody into the ground before they can rotate and, give somebody else a few more minutes.
Yeah, he's just the fluidity in the team right now looks great. And when, you've got Alex Iwobi coming on for a game that's essentially already won, but people are excited to see a kid that young coming on. because he's the what's expected in the first 11. Just shows some of the great options we've got in the team now, especially going forward. Obviously, Hurzel got his hat-trick for the night. Did his hitting it into the ground technique again. Great goal. Talking individual performances, certain players. Kieran Gibbs came in for Monreal, who's come under a little bit of stick, maybe. I think people have been more a bit critical of Iwobi ahead of him, perhaps not covering Monreal enough, and we've been a little bit weak down the left-hand side. We still were tonight. I thought Ludogorets had their best chances probably through the middle and a couple down the right for us. But what did you think of Gibbs tonight, Carl? Do you think he'll get more chances to start at left-back just because Nacho's looked a little bit tired in a few games now? And I was really impressed with Gibbs tonight. He's still fighting for his place and he still wants to stay at Arsenal, by all accounts.
I think he played well today. I do. I think this is a good sort of the best opposition that he could have thought of, sort of played with. Just because, you know, they didn't offer that much. You know, you don't want to start him off against like a Man City or something like that. So it's good for him to play against a team like this. I don't think he'll get that many opportunities just because I don't think Arsene Wenger will change it up that much. I don't think he'll drop Monreal. And I look back on to Saturday. On Saturday, Monreal was getting roasted every second. Like, I forgot the guy's name.
Barrow.
Barrow. First name, Wheel.
And he was killing him, but yet still, Arsene Wenger didn't change it. And now, how many times did Barrow run at Monreal and get past him? But Arsene Wenger stuck with Monreal. And for me, that says a lot. Like, why didn't he bring on Gibbs earlier? Why they even change Gibbs for Monreal? But so that's why I tend to think that Arsene Wenger is going to stick with Monreal just to show faith in him, because you know Arsene Wenger's like with players, he very rarely drops them. He would rather play them into the ground rather than sort of change the team. I would love to see Gibbs get more chances, and maybe he will. You know, we're going to have a busy Christmas period where rotation is going to be needed. It's going to have to happen no matter what. It's nice to show that when called upon, Gibbs has still got it. He can still sort of come in and do a job.
Yeah, I was really impressed with him tonight. Okay, Ludogorets weren't, defensively anyway, weren't certainly the best team ever. I can't believe their goalkeeper is the Bulgarian national keeper. That's dreadful. I think I'd do better in goal than him. But yeah, he was key tonight, and I thought he was really good, the assist as well, for the Chamberlain goal. You know, getting up high up the pitch and firing in those crosses. What he's sort of known for. Another player who, because of the scoreline, probably won't be highlighted as much, Dom. Coquelin, I thought, had a really good game tonight. I thought he was, like you said, you were talking about breaking things up higher up the pitch. He was key to that, going at the right times, filling back in, making some really good tackles. And not just that, some of the passes he made as well. I think one where he won the sort of ball back sort of 30 yards out and first time hit it out to Walcott, who had a shot that was saved by the keeper. And another one where he sort of did like a 40-yard sort of pinged out ball that looked like it was going out for a throw-in, but it was actually found Mesut Ozil, who was out in space. So he's been in great form as well. And that partnership with Kwazula is sort of coming back to what it was last season before the injuries.
Yeah, I think the midfield, everyone needs to kind of take a little step back and look at things a little bit more of a, like I said, a more generalised view, where listen to what Arsene says. He said before that he likes partnerships in defence, he likes partnerships in midfield, and the partnership that he likes in midfield with Coquelin is Cazola. That's why you'll see those two play together. I think we'll see Granit Xhaka with Aaron Ramsey, because if you look at what Coquelin Cazola gives you, Coquelin is more mobile, he will run around a lot, and Cazola isn't, but he's got good passing range. And then if you look at the opposite, you've got Xhaka, who's not that mobile but has a fantastic passing range, with Aaron Ramsey, who's extremely mobile and can run around a lot. That partnership's going to work. If you have Aaron Ramsey and Coquelin together, they both run around too much and they end up fuck knows where, and it just doesn't seem to work. So I've got a funny feeling that when Aaron Ramsey's back and fit, we'll see games where it'll be Xhaka and Ramsey. We'll see games with Coquelin and Cazola. You know, we'll see games where Elneny pops in and out a little bit. But it's nice to see. I don't think Coquelin had been in the best of form early on in the season. I think today, though, he definitely got back to he got back to his best. He was reading the game very well. He always made sure that he was somewhere between where the ball was and where the ball was going to be. So he intercepted a lot. Some of the getting back that he did, I thought was fantastic. And yeah, he did start a lot of our attacks, which is his job. And, you know, he quickly moved the ball to someone like Cazorla and Ozil and let them do their thing.
Yeah, I was really impressed with him tonight because, as you say, he has had a little bit of stick, and obviously lots of people want to see Xhaka starting more often in more games. I know I would as well. I love Xhaka, and obviously because he's the sort of the big money signing, people always want to see that. But yeah, I thought Coquelin was great tonight, and just shows you still what you can offer to the team. You know, especially when he does play with Cazorla, they do have such a good understanding, the two of them together. Just going back to Sanchez quickly, because obviously we talked about his goal, but his overall work rate, I know we talked about it before, but he just never stops running, does he? When he loses the ball, he always tries back to come back and get the ball. He's always the first line of defence, chasing down the goalkeeper, defenders, lost causes all day long. Yeah, sometimes he does make the wrong decision. He's a little bit greedy, but you let him get away with that for the effort he puts in. And just seeing his face when he was subbed off tonight, he looked so disappointed and just upset because he just wants to play all the time. Cole, lots of talk obviously at the moment about Ozil and Sanchez and the contracts. Really key to keep both of them. But Sanchez tonight was just outstanding again, isn't he? And proving a lot of us wrong about the being able to play up front at the moment as well.
Yeah, I'll be happy to hold my hands up and say I was one of the doubters who said he couldn't play up front. I definitely started the season, I was angry he was playing up front, actually, to be honest, because I wanted a striker. And I was thinking to myself, why would you not play him up front, knowing how he was last season? Like last season from the left, he was absolutely brilliant. But so I was definitely... Oh, fuck, Barcelona beat Man City 4-0. Sorry, I've just seen the score. I was definitely one of the people who didn't want to play up front. But credit where credit's due. Arsene knows, doesn't he? Clearly, what I like about him, he doesn't just play up front. He will drop back and he will help out in the midfield and he'll play on the left and he'll play on the right. You know, he'll just move from side to side. He's not static. And when he loses the ball, he will hunt down to try and get, you know, he's not one of the players who just gives up. And that's what I like about him. We need, like, people who can interchange. And Theo Walcott does it, him, Ozil, they all interchange with each other. So even though Alexis is our focal point, he's the striker. Sometimes he will play on the left and Fia will go up front. So when defenders are trying to man-mark people, they're getting dragged out, which will make other people, give other people space. And that's what I kind of really, really like. So for me, you know, long may it continue. Hopefully Alexis can go on and score loads and loads of goals and assist loads of goals. I do kind of fear for the contract situation at the moment, just because I never kind of understand prolonged contract negotiations. For me, it's either you want to sign or you don't. Like, and if you do, let's sort it out now. Like, I don't understand these, oh yeah, we're in talks. What are you talking about? Like, either you want to sign or you don't. And sign a piece of paper. But when it's long and drawn out, it's always like, if it's not about money, because Arsene Wenger has already come out and said, you know, we've got the money and we could pay them the £200,000 that they want. So what is it? Is it the fact that, you know, he wants to see if we're going to win trophies? He wants to see if we're going to win the league? Like, I genuinely just don't know. Between the both of them, him and Ozil, why
I think it's so wrong? I think it's two things, Carl. I think, firstly, I don't think we could have offered them a contract before the transfer window had finished. I think we genuinely needed to wait to see what business we did. Because whether you like it or not, we do abide by the financial fair play rules. And there are rules to say you can only increase your wage bill a certain percent every year. And so I think it was a matter of seeing if this big fish got bought, you know, what Mustafi or what people we could get off the wage bill to know what we could afford to pay them. And then I think you're right. I think we do have the money there. But I genuinely think at the moment, with what Arsene Wenger said, it seems that they are... I mean, there's no guarantees in football. I mean, the players know there's no guarantees of winning trophies. But I think that they are now in the... sort of coming into the peak of their careers, and they're going to have to weigh up whether they want to give those years to Arsenal and if they are, they need to be confident that they're capable of winning Premier Leagues and pushing deep into Champions Leagues, because I think both of those players have done well in Champions Leagues in the past. I think a lot of people and a lot of players also come out and say that the Premier League is one of the most competitive and one of the biggest leagues in the world, and I'm sure that they would absolutely love to win it. So I think not only is it the money, I genuinely think they're sitting back wondering, is this the team that I want to commit my best years of my career to? Especially with people like Ozil and Sanchez, it's not like they're going to have a tough time finding somewhere else to go if they so choose. So I think it's just a matter of the players feeling confident with the squad. And if they're not confident after these last few games, maybe it will take, you know, another few weeks for them to realise that to win something, they all have to stick together, because this has happened before, hasn't it? Where players have just decided one by one to leave and the club's been happy to sell them. But we can afford to keep them for the rest of the season without too many problems. And then maybe that's what it's going to take. Maybe they're going to have to wait out the whole season to see what we're capable of doing. But I'm hoping that it gets done sooner rather than later. There has been some positive whispers here and there, but you know, I think if you imagine yourself in that situation, I mean, we would sign in a heartbeat because we're all Arsenal fans, but these are two of the better players in world football. They're going to want to make sure that wherever they're playing in their best years of their career, that they're going to want to win things. So I think that's understandable, as hard it is to say. You know, I genuinely think that they could win the Premier League this year with Arsenal if they stayed and everyone plays well. I think that the Arsenal would have to be considered one of the top favourites to win it. So I don't see why they wouldn't start to feel a little more confident. But at the back end of last year, I could easily see why they were scratching their heads thinking, well, fuck, if Leicester and Tottenham were above us for most of the season and we finished above all the other big teams and still didn't win the league, then is it ever going to happen? So I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I think the confidence the team's got now is only going to be make it more likely that they do sign. I think that's 7 wins in a row now. So you've got to imagine if you can keep this sort of run up and keep putting pressure and staying right around the top of the table, then it's going to convince them. Because I know that certainly I didn't think we could win the league realistically this year. And then right at the end of the window, obviously got Mustafi in and got Perez, who I didn't know a lot about, but seeing the way they're playing right now, don't want to hex anything, but if they can keep playing like that, it's just about consistency now, because it looks like we can play most teams off the park, to be perfectly honest. Well, I think that's just about covered everything in the game itself. We talked about all the subs came on. So if anyone in the chat, if you've got questions or whatever, please feel free to fire them away and we'll try and answer those. Before I forget, tomorrow night's ABW should be live, as far as I know. Isn't that right, Dom? I think they're doing a live show.
Yeah, that could be on the cards if Danny's testicles feeling a little bit.
if Danny can sort his lumps out, then it should be a live show tomorrow with a special guest in Danny's house, come all the way over from a certain country, which is very exciting. So look out for that. But any questions, please feel free to fire them away in the chat. There's a few people talking about in the first half, Mustafi and the defensive general playing a little bit too high, perhaps, and Mustafi not having his best game. Thinking back into the one where the Ospina made the save on Cafu running through, Mustafi tried to make a header. Was there any worries? Because a couple of times I've seen him do this and it's worked out fine, but he does like to come out to challenge for the ball quite high up, which obviously with someone like Koscielny behind you is fine because he's got that pace to cover in, and he was obviously used to doing that with playing with Mertesacker. But is that any concern for you at all, Dom?
I think not really. I mean, you live and die by the sword. We saw the Koscielny tackle that he was tracking back to tackle, and then Cazorla passed the ball, Ozil goal. I mean, it can set up. That's why they do it. That's why they have this higher line, because if you can turn the ball over higher up the pitch, it's a lot quicker to goal. It's a lot faster route. It's a lot harder for teams to get back to defend. So I think that as long as those two have that understanding that, you know, if Koscielny can identify that Mustafi's going up to try to intercept, that he drops back in case it doesn't work out. and it's not going to work every time. You know, there's some amazingly talented central defenders in world football that make fuck ups on a regular basis. It's just one of those positions that generally your mistakes are highlighted a lot more. Generally, sometimes they can lead to goals, like Xhaka against Swansea. So for all the good work that he's done, I think that we can let a couple of little moments of, you know, maybe poor decision-making slide. But I think in general, as long as those two remain on sort of a similar wavelength, that and as long as they can stay nice and fit and healthy, because I'm not sure how confident we all are with Gabriel coming in. And if he would be able to have that same kind of, you know, you almost need the telepathy. And when the guy can't even speak the same language, then you're always in a little bit of trouble. So maybe just they could learn Morse code, or he could, you know, smoke signals or send him a pigeon or something. I don't know.
But just teach everyone Portuguese, make it easier.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, you know, we've won 7 games on the trot now, which is, you know, that's unbelievable in itself. That we've done this before. We've had amazing runs before with Arsenal. Every year we seem to have periods where we're extremely good, but the staying power is what's really important. And if we can keep these guys fit and healthy, I think that we will go a long way to pushing deep into competitions. You know, for example, Santi Cazorla is not going to play 60 games in midfield at 32 years of age when he's not really a central midfielder anyway. Whether people like it or not, you need to embrace Aaron Ramsey. You need to embrace these players that aren't playing right now, because we're going to need them. And so many times, it's like we've got such a short memory. How many times when Ramsey was in that form and we were looking very good, he got injured and then the team went to shit. So we don't want to be in a situation where one player last year, Cazorla and Coughlin, got injured, we went to shit. We don't want to be in situations anymore that one player is potentially going to cost us a title challenge. And so the centre-backs at the moment, with Koscielny and Mustafi, I think it's really, really important that they stay fit, because I think they're a huge part of what we're doing at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely right. Sorry, you just caught me tweeting there. Right, so we should take some of your questions now. Carl, first one to you. Prince Sivasubramanian. Yeah, I've just butchered that. I'm going to chuck his in with Unique 79. Should Perez get more game time, and should he start against Reading? I think, is that next week, the League Cup?
Yes, it's midweek, isn't it?
Yeah.
I would start against Middlesbrough, to be honest. At home. Middlesbrough not having the best time of it lately. So personally, I would start against Middlesbrough. He won't start, and we know that. Alexis probably will start. Why would you disrupt a winning team? I would start him. Definitely, he's going to start against Reading. He definitely has to. But I would definitely give him a run against Middlesbrough, if I'm honest. He's came on today and he's done really well. And every time we've seen him, you know, he hasn't disappointed. So I would give him a few games. I hate when players just get like one game and then they're out for a few and then in for one. You know, sometimes players need a little run in the team just to show kind of how good they are. But against Reading, 100% he should start. But against Middlesbrough, I personally would start him, but I know he's not going to start.
Yeah, good shout. I think for the Reading game, you'll definitely see some changes and some of the younger kids coming in. But Middlesbrough, maybe. I thought he was impressive tonight, so he's definitely got an opportunity. But you don't want to change the winning team too much. Dom, we've got one here from Matar Wolfenstein Stone. Can you see a strengthening in January? And if so, what positions?
Oh, that's a good question. When you're in the form that we're in at the moment, it's hard to see what the point of buying anybody in January would be. I mean, potentially if we do have a bit of an injury crisis anywhere, touch wood that doesn't happen this year. But at the moment, I guess, you know, I mean, you look at someone like, you know, to use the cliche, Welbeck's going to come back like a new signing. And then you're going to have a situation where you have Alexis, Perez and Welbeck all wanting game time up front. You're going to have Theo and Oxlade-Chamberlain and Iwobi on the flanks. The midfield that we have at the moment with Xhaka, Coughlin, Ramsey, Elneny, Cazorla, Ozil, You know, that's why Jack Wilshere is online. It's hard to see anywhere in the team where we really need to bring anybody in, to be honest. I think the only position on the pitch that I look at and I feel a little bit uneasy about is the right back position, because if something happens to Bellerin, then I think we could be in a little bit of trouble. I'm not sure what's happened with Debussy. I don't even know where he is at the moment. And Carl Jenkinson's coming off a pretty nasty ACL injury. So potentially, you know, but even then, I think that we're all right, you know.
Yeah, I honestly can't see us, unless, like you say, it would have to be a spate of bad injuries, or there would have to be a player of such ridiculous talent available out of the blue that you just couldn't turn him down. We managed to get Ozil, and obviously we've been tracking it for a while, but it came up last minute and we were straight in there. You're never going to say no to a player like that. So unless it's something like that, I don't see us signing anyone in January, which is a nice position for us to be in, because we're not, you know, normally we're scrambling to get players. Johnny Moon, do you go with Gibbs again Saturday to give Monreal a proper break, Carl? What do you think?
No, I kind of would. Gibbs is going to play in the League Cup, which is only a week away. So I'd give Monreal, I would start Monreal on Saturday. Even just try and play himself back into form, to be honest. I think back to the Swansea game last season when, was it Montero who destroyed Callum Chambers? And he was never the same after that. He was never, ever the same. So I think Monreal kind of needs to get back on the horse straight away and kind of, forget about the Swansea game, this one, and just play his normal game. And hopefully, you know, he won't have such a hard time against Middlesbrough.
I've got a question for both of you about that, actually. Like I said, with partnerships on the pitch, you heard Theo Walcott talk about how, you know, he's built this good partnership with Hector Bellerin on that side. And then on the left, we had Oxlade-Chamberlain, who I thought defensively was very, very good, which helped Gibbs quite a lot. What do you guys think about Iwobi, for all the stuff that he's, you know, doing when he's going forward and how well he's playing there? Do you think that has impacted a little with Monreal's form this season, considering Monreal's been playing with Alexis in front of him for most of the last few years, and Alexis, as we know, gets back and tracks back a lot and helps out a lot defensively? So, you know, do you see a situation where Arsene Wenger might stick with the Iwobi-Monreal partnership, and then in the Reading game, he'll switch back and swap both of those players to Oxlade-Chamberlain and Gibbs again? Or do you think that he'll mix and match a little bit?
Ox was better tonight. He didn't start great, but he got better as the game went on. But he's still not a starter for me at the moment with the way everyone else is playing. The criticism of Iwobi, I think, is fair. He's been great going forwards, and I absolutely love watching him play. He's got amazing feet and just ability and the confidence for someone that age as well. And he's got just the right amount of arrogance for me as well. You've got to have a little bit of it, I think, to play that kind of position. But not too much. The one problem is the defensive. He doesn't really help out enough. And I think that has exposed Monreal a little bit. I do think age is a factor, though. And also, in the international break, he got a very late call-up, didn't he, for Spain?
Yeah.
And I think that was all a bit of a surprise last minute. So maybe that little bit of extra travel as well, just something he wasn't expecting, because he probably would have been, I don't know, maybe a few days in Dubai or something whilst the international break was on, and that all got cut short. So, if they can work out an understanding, then I think Monreal and Iwobi will still be the starting two. But yeah, with the Reading game coming up, he'll put in, I imagine, like you'll see like the Jeff or someone like that will be starting. So Gibbs and Chamberlain are sort of the more senior pros in that, would be the senior pros in that side. I think Gibbs was captain as well for the last one, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe you'll stick with that then. Try and get through all these questions for you, lovely people watching. Thank you very much for everyone who's watching and everyone in the chat who's interacting. We got one from Marble Halls TV. Oh, sorry, one just before that. Unique79 again. What on earth has happened to Theo Walcott? He's finally listened. All the criticism I've given him for the last however many, you know, year and a bit or whatever on the radio, he's finally listened, and he's not playing for a contract at all. No, long may it continue. He's great form. Anyway, Marble Halls TV. Will Mertesacker ever play for Arsenal again? And should he? That is a really good question. Go for it. Of course he will.
Of course he will. He's better than people give him credit for, I think. And again, it's a squad. You know, you've got to... There's so many games. I mean, the game has changed now, I think. You know, you're not going to see the same 11 each week win a Premier League title like back in the 90s. It's just the demands on... I mean, if even that Leicester team last season was a little bit of a one-off where they were unbelievably lucky that, first of all, they didn't have anything else to worry about other than Premier League once a week, that they didn't get any big injuries to any of the mainstays of that team, and they were able to kind of, you know, roll along. But we're in so many different competitions. We play a different style of football. We invite a lot more challenges. There's going to be injuries. We're going to need people like Mertesacker. We've gone through periods before where we've bemoaned the lack of leadership and experienced heads and you know, calming influences. And we've finally got depth in midfield. We've finally got depth at the back and experienced players. And now everybody's wanting to sell everybody and just have 11 players. And then we'd be complaining that our squad's not big enough again. So you really can't win, can you? I mean, what the manager's done everything that we've been complaining at him for over the last 5 years, and people are still finding reasons to complain anyway. So I think we just need to appreciate it. We won 7 games in a row, and we're playing really, really good football, really decisive, fast movement. It's exciting to watch. You know, imagine being a fucking United fan at the moment where you're sitting 7th and you're happy that you get a draw away to Liverpool, for fuck's sake. You know, we should be absolutely ecstatic about the squad that we have and supporting players like Mertesacker, that, you know, to feel confident that if he's required, that he can come in and produce good performances. Because, you know, even Rob Holding at the moment, if something, touch wood, was to happen to either Mertesacker, to Koscielny or Mustafi, I don't think I would feel that upset that we'd have Rob Holding back there, who's a young player. But just the way that we're playing at the moment, I think it's just it's a fantastic environment that they have there at the club, where there's competition for places. And Francis Coughlin, I thought, answered a question in a press conference, you know, perfectly the other day, where the question was along the lines of, you know, with players like Xhaka coming in, do you feel pressure for your spot? And he said, well, of course, you know, this is the Arsenal. If I didn't feel pressure for my place, then it'd be strange. And that's a good thing for the squad. So, you know, the fact that there is pressure on me makes me work harder in training and makes me play harder. And that's a good thing for the squad. So hopefully the players realize now that it takes a squad to win things in this day and age with football, because the physical demands are just so much more. The recovery is so much harder. And so, you know, you need to do your bit, whether that's playing 10 games in a row and then having a little bit of time out, or whether it's playing once every 2 weeks or whatever that might be. You need to make sure that this squad is a united squad, because if it was up to some of us fans, we'd only have 11 players. You know, people are already saying that we should sell Aaron Ramsey for some reason, you know. So thankfully the manager is a little bit more sensible than that.
Yeah, absolutely. Good point. And we go on to our next question, which I'll find in a second. There we go. Carl, one for you. Oscar Arias asks, can this side beat the big teams, Bayern, the Madrid's, Barca in Europe in a two-legged series? I'll quickly chip in. If we were to play Bayern at the moment, I think we'd smash them because they're fucking all over the place. But as for the others, Carl, what do you reckon?
Bayern, I agree with you. I genuinely think we'd kill them. Barca... On our day, we can beat Barcelona. I don't care what anyone says. At home, we can. Definitely get a 1-0, 2-0 win. The problem is that when we go to Barcelona, do we have enough discipline to sort of know what we need to do? So if we went there with a 1-0, 2-0 lead, there's no point in us going gung-ho. You know, and do we have the players that will just be able to sit back? I don't know. I think on our day, we can beat anyone. Genuinely can. I think the way we're playing right now, I kind of want us. I know we've got the Scum coming up soon, and I can't wait for that game. I genuinely can't, because I think the way we're playing right now, I want to play them, and we need a test. You know, the teams that we play, we haven't really had a test. We played Liverpool and we played PSG, but I want a really big test, and I know them not coming up. And see, I'm not even going to put Chelsea in there, because Chelsea, for me, weren't really not anymore like a massive team, but I cannot wait to play that lot. I can't even say the name, I just don't know, but I can't wait to play them and just to show how good we are. I'm not getting too carried away because, you know, like Dom said earlier, like we've had these before where, you know, we come out of the blocks and then like we have our blip between November and February. It always happens. But I think just the squads, like the whole squad, we don't have like one individual player who's just brilliant. It's the whole squad that's playing really, really well. And the fact that we're going to have Ramsey coming back and towards the beginning of the year, next year, we're going to have the likes of Welbeck coming in, you know, and we still got Giroud to come back into the squad. I just think that the way we're playing right now, we could take on anyone. I'm not saying we'll beat them, but I think we would have a very good game against any team in world football right now.
You know who I'd love to see us play? Real Madrid. I think we would absolutely give them, not necessarily a hiding, but I think we would give them all sorts. Just the way that they play. I've watched them a little bit recently, and Barcelona always scare me because they're just so good. But I think Real Madrid is a team that we would do quite well against. Just my thoughts. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I don't think sometimes we give ourselves enough credit against the bigger sides. I think generally whenever we play them, we tend to up our game to their level if we are a little bit below it. But at the moment, I don't think we are. Bayern aren't in great form right now. I think Barca are the scariest one out of the lot just because that front three is just ridiculous. It's any one of those, if they're completely on it, they can destroy any team.
Messi was ridiculous today.
Yeah, just if you just have a Messi, Neymar or Suarez, any one of those three is in form for that one particular game. It doesn't matter how good your defence is, you're going to struggle. But yeah, Madrid, like their defence is not there at all. Yeah, they're great going forwards, but
we've got Modric in midfield who's great, but I think that our midfield would I think we'd pass circles around him at the moment. I really do.
Yeah, the thing I like is like Carl was talking about, they're going and having the discipline in the second leg. I think the fact we've got so many different options in midfield now that if you did have to shut down a game, that you could go, right, we'll put in a Coquelin and Elneny or Xhaka or whatever, and we'll take Santi out for this one. And we'll just sit deep and just hold on to the ball. And you can maybe bring in a Giroud and have him just to knock the ball up to and hold it up and win fouls and that kind of thing and free kicks to get you up the pitch. And we've never really had those options before, at least in the last couple of years anyway. So, yeah, no, I'm genuinely excited about the season. And I wasn't going into it, but I really am now. Even better that, you know, Man City got absolutely hammered tonight. That's hilarious. Marble Hall's got another great one here. Last question for now. We spent 96 million and a second bar one goal from City. Jose spent 150 million and parks the bus to get seventh. Isn't this the biggest fucking laugh ever? yeah, spot on. I got really annoyed when people were going, oh, people will call it parking the bus, but it's genius from Jose.
No, it's not. It wasn't.
You know what? If it would be genius if they were 3 points or 4 points ahead with only a couple of games to go, then yes, that would be very, very clever. But when you're seventh, I mean, what kind of ambition is that? When you're Manchester United and you're not trying to win every game that you play, then there's something going wrong. If Arsenal didn't genuinely want to win every game, but like you said, if we were, you know, going two goals up into the second leg against a Barcelona and we were extremely defensive, then absolutely. But we should be trying to win every single game we play. I don't want to go away to Man United and sit back for a draw. I don't want to go away to City and sit back for a draw because I think we're good enough to win.
Yeah. No, I'd hate to be a Man United fan right now. That must be so miserable. Having him, LVG and Moyes, Christ. Couple more questions quickly before we go. We're trying to keep the shows to an hour this season if we can. Urban Music. Ozil's role, I believe, has changed to a false nine behind the striker this season, which allows him to enter the box more often, hence the goals adding to his tally and assists not flooding in. Thoughts on this? That's quite interesting, actually. A couple of times when we defend, sometimes you see us drop back in, he does sort of stand up as a second striker. Obviously, he does like to find space. Carl, what do you reckon to Ozil? Do you think his role has changed a little bit within the team this year?
Well, definitely. And it kind of shows the amount of goals he's got already. And the fact that I don't think he's registered. Has he registered an assist so far this season?
He got two tonight, didn't he?
Oh,
one
yeah.
Tonight?
Yeah. No, one tonight. Yeah. So, and that's his first of the season.
He has still created a lot of chances. I think Alexis with 9 chances and him with 8 or something like that. But
yeah,
he's still creating chances. But you're right, he's scoring more than he's assisting at the moment.
And I think that's the key. I think last season he didn't get as many goals as he should have. But, I mean, long may it continue. The fact that what he's doing now is contributing much more to the team. I mean, you can always assist and that's very good. But the fact that he's getting goals as well, I think that's really, really good. And like I said, long may it continue, because the fact of the matter is we need goals from everywhere. You know, we can't just rely on the strikers to score goals. We need goals from our midfield. And last season, I think we sort of lacked goals from midfield. And I think the fact that Theo is popping up with goals, Ozil's popping up with goals, it's only a good thing. And like I said, long may it continue.
Yeah, great point. I think we're going to call it a night there for all the questions. Thank you for everyone tuning in. As I say, we're trying to keep the shows to an hour this season. Thank you for everyone who's interacted tonight. We've had loads of people viewing live as well, which is really great. So make sure to spread the word about ABW. As I say, look out for tomorrow's podcast. I'm pretty sure it's a live one. If it isn't, Danny can kill me for that, and I apologise. But he did say it was going to be live. So hopefully it should be, but stay tuned into the ABW Twitter account for that. That will give you a heads up. I think that's everything, guys. Any final thoughts on tonight's game from either of you?
No.
Yeah. Tottenham lost. Old Drew yesterday, and Man United got spanked. Oh, Man City, sorry. So fuck them.
Well, that sums it up lovely then. Well, thank you for tuning into ABW Radio. Chris will be back next on Saturday. I think I'm supposed to be back on, but maybe I'll get the day off now. But yeah, I'll be much more professional then. But thanks for watching, guys, and look out for the podcast tomorrow.